This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف المرسلين سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا وزدنا علما آمين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. All praise and thanks are due solely to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Traces peace, blessings and salutations upon our master Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Ahlan wa sahlan wa marhaban bikum. First and foremost, we thank Allah Azza wa Jal for all the favors He continues to bestow upon us. And we ask of His forgiveness and His blessings that this gathering of Jumu'ah be a means for us to attain His forgiveness and be an expiation for everything that has transpired of negativity for the week that has gone by. And we thank Allah for the opportunity to be alive and well in the month of Sha'ban, the month leading up to Ramadan. And we ask of Him, subhanahu wa ta'ala, to allow us to reach the month of Ramadan. And we ask that Allah Azza wa Jal grant all our Muslim brothers and sisters the sincere desire to reach the month of Ramadan. Ameen ya Rabbal Alameen. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala ali Sayyidina Muhammad wa barik wa sallim. One of the negative aspects of the time that we are living in is the fact that we are living in a global village. This is both positive and negative, but from among the negative aspects is that when things are so accessible and we are so connected, our circle of concern grows. And when our circle of concern grows, then we have too many things to focus on and too many things that are occupying our minds and our heart spaces. And we need to be realistic with ourselves. Our heart space and our mind space is very limited. So when we are concerned about Russia and Ukraine, or what's happening in the United States, or what's happening in China, and what's happening in this place and that place, well, that's all good and well. The problem is we don't have much heart space and mind space for what's happening right in front of us, what's happening within our own homes, and what's happening within our own families. And this family and home situation should be our primary concern. So in relation to that, and the fact that we find ourselves in the month of Sha'ban, today we're speaking about harboring ill feelings and how to eradicate them from our lives. Why this topic and why now? And what has it got to do with the rest of the world? Well, quite simply put, on Wednesday evening, inshallah, if Allah grants us life and tawfiq and blesses us, on Wednesday evening will be a very special night, right? While scholars have differed about the authenticity of some of the ahadith, there's at least one narration about which the majority of reliable muhaddithun and traditional scholars of Islam, in fact, even some non-traditional scholars of Islam, regard as authentic, which we will discuss at length, bi-idhnillah, on the night of Laylatul Nisf Sha'ban, right? Locally, we refer to that night as Ruwa. We refer to that night as Ruwa. In all likelihood, that comes from Laylatul Bara'a. Wallahu a'lam. Right? Bara'a means the night of freedom, the night of freeing. Because on that night, as the hadith states, Allah Azza wa Jal, He directs His attention, subhanahu wa ta'ala, on the entire world. And He forgives everybody. He forgives everybody. And this particular narration, while there are many, this particular narration explains that there are two groups that would be excluded. The one is the mushrik, the polytheist, and the other is the mushahin, the one who harbors ill feelings, They will be excluded from the mercy of Allah, from the forgiveness of Allah on that night. Now, shirk is of course of different types. We get ashirkul akbar, the major form of shirk, which is to worship other than Allah. The very fact that we are here present in Jumu'ah, inshallah, is a sign that we are not of the mushrikun, right? We don't ascribe partners to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then there's shirk in actions, right? And individual beliefs, where people perhaps have a mistaken aqidah about something, or they do a particular act of ibadah in a way that could be described as a shirki practice. But that's not the primary meaning in the hadith. And then we get shirkul asghar, the minor form of shirk. The minor form of shirk is also called riya. In English, we can say ostentation. Or more simply put, to do something for show, right? Where we go and we recite Quran, but we are not reciting for Allah, we are reciting so people can hear us. We're praying salah very, very meticulously, but not because we are so pious and have a relationship with Allah, but because people are watching us and we want to impress them. Or we do something or the other for the sake of people's attention, whether they hear about us or whether they see us. That is also a type of shirk, and therefore we should strive to rid ourselves of ostentation, riya and sum'ah. Riya is when people see us, and sum'ah is that people hear about us. Today we are not speaking about those, albeit important categories. We are focusing our attention on ill feelings. Al-mushrik wal-mushahin, the mushahin, al-shahna, harboring ill feelings, harboring negative feelings towards other Muslim brothers and sisters. It's very peculiar, it's very interesting that this entire category would be excluded from Allah's forgiveness. I'm asking a question, think about it, right? Does Allah ever in the Quran indicate that He does not want to forgive? That Allah is reluctant to forgive or hesitant to forgive? No, it is the opposite, isn't it so? Allah is Ghafoorur Rahim. It is as though, when you read Quran and Sunnah, wallahi, it is as though Allah Azza wa Jal is looking for an excuse to forgive you. Is looking for an excuse to pardon you and to bring you back on the Sirat al-Mustaqim. All of us. Whether it be from one Salah to the next Salah, one Jumu'ah to the next Jumu'ah, one Ramadan to the next Ramadan. There are so many ways to earn Allah's forgiveness and earn Allah's mercy. On the night of the 15th of Sha'ban, there's this general forgiveness where Allah Azza wa Jal, يَطَّلِعُ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى إِلَى جَمِيعِ خَلْقِ. Allah Ta'ala turns to all of His creation, subhanahu wa ta'ala, and forgives everyone again. But then, there's this group that gets excluded. My understanding of this, and Allah knows best, is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is preparing our hearts, minds, and souls for the month of Ramadan. No Muslim in his or her right mind would want to be excluded from Allah's forgiveness. So we would strive to ensure that we are not from among those who will not be forgiven. That's the point. The point is not so we can come to the masjid on that night and say, look here, all the people who are not here, not forgiven. And all the people who are busy doing this, not forgiven. That's not the point. This is not Islam. Although some people treat Islam like that, like they are the gatekeepers of Jannah, and only their version of Islam is going to enter into Jannah, but that's not Allah. That's not the Allah that we read about and learn about in the Quran and Sunnah. So when we hear that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam la'ana, cursed so-and-so, or when we hear that Allah does not forgive so-and-so, it is not because they are damned, but because they need to be rescued. And Allah is rescuing them by informing them not to be guilty of certain things. And in this case, it is to rid oneself of ill feelings. Qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Messenger of God, peace be upon him, said, in a hadith narrated by Anas ibn Malik, reported in the Sunan of Imam al-Tirmidhi, rahimahullah ta'ala, he says, oh, my beloved son. Now, Anas ibn Malik had that type of relationship with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It was practically his son, right? Sayyidina Anas ibn Malik was given as an assistant, as a servant to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam by his parents. And he spent a solid, I think more than 10 years, but There's one narration where he says, I was 10 years in the company of the Prophet alayhi wasalam. Never did he ask me, why didn't you do this or why did you do that? Or, I've never touched anything gentler than the hand of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam. So he's like a son. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam says to him, oh my beloved son, if you are able to pass the morning and the evening without harboring ill feelings against anyone, then do so. Oh my beloved son, this is my sunnah, this is my way. And the person who revives my sunnah indeed loves me. And whoever loves me will be with me in Jannah. Subhanallah. It's profound that the Prophet ﷺ is attaching eradicating ill feelings and inoculation from ill feelings, not to get them in the first place, right? He attaches that to his sunnah, saying that this is my sunnah. And we know the sunnah is more than that. But here it is as though the Prophet ﷺ is saying, this is the sunnah. You want to know what the sunnah is? Here's the sunnah. Stay clear from negativity towards others. Right? So it's an expression. And then he says, whosoever does this, loves me. And whoever loves me, will be with me in Jannah. Allahu Akbar. Do we need any other motivation? No, we don't. This is enough for us. However, today we are looking at not just the theory that we should stay away from ill feelings, but we want to look at the practical. How do we abstain from ill feelings? How do we eradicate the ill feelings? So the first advice, and here I'm looking at Hakim al-Ummah, Mawlana Ashraf Ali Thanawi, rahimahullah ta'ala, one of the great scholars of our tradition. And his advice is always profound because it's not just legal, but also spiritual in that. He says, a Muslim should maintain a clean heart and avoid harboring ill feelings against others. Because harboring ill feelings, malice, jealousy, hatred against others only causes more discomfort and misery to the bearer himself and is devoid of any benefit. I always use the example, it's like the person who puts poison in their mouth. So I put poison in my mouth and I keep it there, right? I play around with it in my mouth, hoping that that poison is going to kill the people that I don't like. That's what we're doing when we have ill feelings against others, whether it be jealousy, spite, anger, hatred, rancor, you name it, right? It's not going to damage that person, illa mashallah, but it's going to damage ourselves. It's going to damage me. See, he carries on and he says, on the other hand, if a person maintains a clean heart, he will experience more contentment and be more focused in life. Together with this, he will be fulfilling a great sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he will earn the companionship of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Subhanallah. He will be a sahabi. Not here, but in Jannah, inshallah. He will be with the Prophet alayhi salatu wasallam in Jannah. So what is the cure? He says, number one, you should make dua for those you are jealous of, that Allah grants them more and Allah be with them in general, make their life blessed. You make dua for their well-being. You make dua for their salvation in the akhirah, and on and on. This is a very interesting but powerful way to deal with ill feelings. So there's somebody you don't like. They don't like you. There's bad blood, whatever the case may be. Imagine the power of taking some time out of your schedule and going to make a private dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The key being private. It's not going to work if you go to the person and tell them, do you know I just made 5 minutes of dua for you, but you're acting like this with me. What's wrong with you? That's not the point. The point is secretly go and speak to Allah about that person. Oh Allah, so and so. You don't even need to deal with your own feelings. Allah will take care of that. Oh Allah, so and so, increase them in barakah, increase them in rizq, increase them in whatever it is that is going on between the two of you. Make dua for that person. This will be a means for Allah to remove the ill feelings from your own heart, inshallah. And imagine, just think about the scene in the day of Qiyamah when this person comes and they see deeds that they don't understand why it's there, where it comes from, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows them, no, that person there that you had such a problem with, that person made dua for you. And this is the result of that, subhanAllah. If it is possible, if you are by the means, there's another sunnah that we can couple with this. Tahabu, tahabu. Give gifts, it will cause love to spread. Give gifts, it will cause love to spread. So here's a very practical tip. Before Wednesday, purchase as much dates as you can from the masjid here, right? And then you go around to all your family and friends and you give them a barakat of dates. This is a win-win situation. How? The masjid wins because you're supporting the masjid. You win because you're supporting the masjid. You're giving sadaqah, right? So there's double reward there. Your family wins because they're getting dates for Ramadan, mashallah. They're getting a visit from you. They're getting a gift from you. You and they win because they're going to break their fast, inshallah, with those dates. You will get their reward. They will get their reward. And on top of all of that, it will cause love to spring forth from you. In a world where petrol is so expensive, you don't even want to put it in your driveway, a visit from a family member would be highly appreciated. Right? You don't even need to give the gifts. Just the fact that you arrived there is a gift because of the money you had to spend on petrol. Right? But be that as it may, give gifts. Doesn't have to be expensive. You don't need to take iPads to everybody. Just take them a small barakat of dates. This will be tremendous in its effect. Now, it's going to be very suspicious if you just take the dates to that one person you had an argument with, right? But it's going to be much better if you find a way to give universally, right? You're giving gifts and they just happen to be one of those people. But secretly, they are the reason that you're actually giving the gifts in the first place because you want that love to come back. And here, it doesn't matter. None of what I'm saying is rested upon whose fault it was, why this happened, etc. Put that aside entirely. So give gifts to each other, you will love each other, and it will remove the ill feelings from the heart. There's the second tip. The first one, make dua. The second one, give gifts. The third one, when the Prophet ﷺ arrived in Medina, one of the first pieces of advice he gave to its occupants was, Afshu salama baynakum. Right? Afshu salama baynakum. Spread the salam. This isn't, hi, how's it? No, this is assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. The Islamic greeting, as burdensome as it may be for some people to say, is not just a lengthy version of saying, hi, hello, how are you? No, no. It is a dua that you are reciting for that person and for yourself that will bring barakah between the two of you and it will cause love to spread. The Prophet ﷺ told the Sahaba, none of you will enter Jannah until you love one another. You will not enter Jannah until you believe, he said, firstly. You will not enter Jannah until you believe. Then he said, you will not believe until you love one another. And then he said, أَوَلَا أَدُلُّكُمْ عَلَى شَيْءٍ. Shall I not tell you about something? إِذَا فَعَلْتُمُوهُ, when you do it, تَحَابَبَتُمْ, you will love each other. He said, أَفْشُ السَّلَامَ بَيْنَكُمْ. Greet one another. Greet one another. It's a dying sunnah, right? We're supposed to greet as Muslims. سَلِّمْ عَلَى مَنْ عَرَفْتَ وَعَلَى مَنْ لَمْ تَعْرِفْ. Greet those you know and those you don't know. Today, if you're in public and another Muslim greets you that you don't know, then it's like, who's that? Do you know that person? What's going on? It's weird. It's weird. And then the person is hesitant to greet back because I don't know this person. I don't know what the thought is. Maybe they're greeting me because they want to rob me, as if robbers greet first. Allah knows best. But we're supposed to spread the greeting of salam among one another, right? Greet. Or the first thing, this is a sign of where we are in our minds and heart spaces. When somebody greets, is this person even Muslim? If he's not Muslim, then I'm not supposed to say wa alaykum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I'm supposed to say wa alaykum. So I must first find out if this person is Muslim. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billahi al-aliyyil azim. Have we reached that point? Right? Allah grant us understanding. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave us these practical tips. Give gifts. Right? Give gifts. Give gifts, make dua, and spread salam. Three things. Sometimes the advice from the sunnah is so simple, it seems too good to be true. But it's profound in its simplicity because everything that the Prophet ﷺ instructs us with is from Allah, and everything that comes from Allah has divine wisdom in it that you and I, as much as we can try, we will not be able to figure it out entirely. We just have to reach a point where we say, you know, if this is from Allah and Rasulullah ﷺ, سَمِعْنَا وَأَطَعْنَا. Let's do it. When we say give gifts, when we say make dua for each other, when we say spread the salam, right? These three things can be done in one of two ways. It can be done in a fake way, and it can be done in a real way. What's the fake way? Assalamu alaikum. Assalamu alaikum. Where there's no heart in that greeting. That person just greeted will feel so bad that you greeted them in that way, because they know in their heart, this person is just greeting me now because they were either told to do so, or they just don't want to make a scene or something of the sort. But there's no spirit in that greeting, right? Similarly, if you give sadaqah to another person, all the qualities of how sadaqah should be given must also follow. The right hand mustn't know what the left hand mustn't know what the right hand gives. It must be given with a good heart. It mustn't be followed up with reminders and so forth. Tell the person, remember I gave you dates on the 15th of Sha'ban and this is how you treat me. No, this is not. It must be given genuinely. Just give, right? Happily, with a smile on one's face, right? The greeting too. When we greet each other, be genuine. Turn towards the other person like the Prophet ﷺ used to do and give that person your attention for that split second. It will do wonders bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. When you make dua for that person also, be careful of what you ask Allah. You know, you might start with, oh Allah, I'm making dua for that person. That person is such a, you know. And then you go down the wrong road with your dua. No, we need to be genuine in this because it needs to start from a point in the heart where we want to make positive changes. Bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, look at the Quran itself. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَنَزَعْنَا مَا فِي قُلُوبِهِم مِّن غِلٍّ. When is this? Allah speaks about when people enter into Jannah. Right? And Allah says, and then we remove from their hearts all the ill feelings that they may have had. And then they will be brothers and sisters, right? On thrones in Jannah, reclining and looking at one another and having conversations. Now there's a good aspect to this and there's a bad aspect to this. How? How is there possibly a bad aspect? On the one hand, Allah speaking about how they're going to be entering Jannah and how they're going to be reclining on thrones and looking at each other. But also take a moment to appreciate the fact that Allah is telling us that these ill feelings will be removed when? When they enter Jannah. When they enter Jannah. This is bad because this means that they lived their entire lives with these ill feelings in their hearts. It means that they spent the entire duration of the barzakh in the qabr with these ill feelings in their hearts. It means that they come on the day of Qiyamah and still had these ill feelings in their heart. It means that they will cross that bridge over Jahannam towards Jannah still with those ill feelings in their heart. And by some miracle, they still manage to make it to Jannah. And only then will those ill feelings be removed. Subhanallah. Do we really want to harbor those things in our heart for that long, to the point where we're risking not even going to Jannah? And then only then will we be free of this burden that we carry with us. May Allah grant us the understanding and the tawfiq to get rid of it from our hearts. Ameen ya Rabbal Alameen. The final story is a beautiful story that also contains the last bit of practical advice. And it's directly from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. This hadith is narrated by Imam Ahmad. And it begins with the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. It's reported by Anas ibn Malik again, by the way. Allah be pleased with him. He says, we were sitting with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam once, and a man walked in. Before the man walks in, the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam says to the Sahaba, a man from the people of Jannah will walk in now. Imagine we're all sitting here in Jumu'ah. I say, the next person who comes in there, you know, But who am I? This is Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the Sahaba are on high alert. Who's this person? So a man from the Ansar, the residents of Medina, he enters. He walked in. His beard was dripping from the effect of ablution. He just performed wudu. And he held his slippers with his left hand and he came in. That was that. The next day, the Prophet ﷺ says the same thing. The next person who walks in here is from the people of Jannah. Lo and behold, it's the same man. The next day, exactly the same thing happens, the same man. This time, when the Prophet ﷺ left the gathering, Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu, he followed that man. And his intention for following that man was, I want to spend some time with this man. 3 straight days, the Prophet ﷺ says, this man is of the people of Jannah. I need to know what he did, how he did it, what he does, because I want to also be of the people of Jannah. This is the attitude of the Sahaba, by the way. He didn't follow him with a dagger. Oh, why is he of the people of Jannah? Why can't I be of the people of Jannah? I'm going to get him now. Nothing of that sort. So he follows the man. He then says, he makes up a bit of a story, right? He says to the man, I had a misunderstanding with my father and I swore I'm not going to stay in his house for 3 nights. Please allow me to stay with you. I would like to spend these nights in your place. Now, in case you didn't know, a Muslim has the right to do this with another Muslim. Your Muslim brother and sister has the right to spend 3 nights in your home, rent free, right? This is just part of ikramul Muslim, right? The honor that we owe to another Muslim. If you get a visitor, your visitor has the right to stay overnight for 3 nights in your hospitality. But be that as it may, the man says, no problem. You may stay with me. So Abdullah ibn Umar told us that he spent 3 nights and he did not notice anything special. The man stands up at night. He doesn't really engage in anything special of ibadah. All the sahaba generally made tahajjud. This man doesn't stand for very, very long. If he wakes up during the night, he would simply remember Allah a little bit, go back to sleep. I never heard him utter except good things, right? He's generally a good person. But he's looking for that. What's the special thing that this man does? So after time has gone by, he says to his host, Ya Abdullah, O servant of Allah, there was no dispute between me and my father. There was nothing that happened. This is the reason why I asked you to stay in your home. I heard the Prophet ﷺ saying that a man from the people of Jannah is about to walk in the masjid. All 3 times, you were that man. So I wanted to sleep in your home to see what you do because I want to imitate you. But I didn't notice anything extra special of deeds. How did you reach such a status? What did you do? You deserve that Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says this about you. So the man says, thinking, you know, what is it? My deeds are nothing more than what anybody else's deeds are. I'm just one of the people who worship Allah as you worship Allah. But then he remembered something. He said, oh, you know what? My deeds are nothing. But the only thing that I do is every night before I retire, before I go and sleep, I think about anything that I did or said to anyone on that day, and I make up for it immediately the next day. I don't hold any grudge or any negative feeling against any Muslim. Why? Just out of appreciation of the bounties that Allah granted me, and I make sure that I'm not jealous of the bounties that Allah granted them. Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu said, this difficult quality to obtain, this is what granted you that rank in Jannah. Subhanallah. Right? Very simple. We'd imagine you must spend every night, the whole night in tahajjud and give all your wealth out in sadaqah. But just look at this introspection on a daily basis. What am I responsible for of any negativity towards anyone? What feeling do I have in my heart that shouldn't be there? And see to that immediately. May Allah grant us that, right? So in this in this how to eradicate ill feelings before the 15th of Sha'ban discussion that we have today, we learned that number one, give sadaqah. No, number one, make dua for the people who you have any ill feelings against. And make sincere dua for them privately. Nobody else needs to know about this or should know about this. Number two, give sadaqah, especially now before Ramadan and before the 15th of Sha'ban, because that sadaqah, tahabu tahado, like give gift, it will cause love to spring forth from the Prophet ﷺ. So give with that niyyah. That's the niyyah you are giving with. Not I have, you don't have, yours, why? Nothing negative. Give gifts, give sadaqah. Number three, afshu salama baynakum. Go out of your way to spread the greeting of salam with one another. Right? The proper greeting of salam. Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Right? Break that ice if you feel uncomfortable about it. It's to your benefit and their benefit, and it will reward everyone, inshallah. And then lastly, on a daily basis, of course now, when we're just learning about it, perhaps tonight, before going to bed, just take some time to go through everyone in your life, or perhaps those who had left your life, and think, where can I apply myself to make things better? And to do this on a daily basis, inshallah ta'ala, will make us all of the people of Jannah. May Allah grant us that. Wa sallallahu ala sayyidina Muhammad walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. On Wednesday evening, inshallah ta'ala, our program Imam can confirm on after Maghrib. After Maghrib on Wednesday? Thursday. Uncle Thabit said Wednesday. Is it Wednesday or Thursday? Thursday. Okay. Thursday after Maghrib, inshallah ta'ala, we will have our traditional gathering for the night of Laylatul Nisf Sha'ban. Of course, needless to say, everybody is welcome to join us for that. Bi-idhnillah. Regardless of what you do on that night, it is a special night. So do remember to follow whatever advice you can as far as drawing the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on that night. Our Wednesday class will therefore continue, inshallah ta'ala, from 7 till 8. It's just about from Maghrib now. It is the fiqh of dhikr where we're learning more about the adhkar that we generally recite to bring it alive in our lives and make it a means to draw close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And finally, the masjid has dates for sale. This is for the masjid's expenditure during the month of Ramadan specifically. So do support in that regard. Wa sallallahu ala sayyidina Muhammad. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.